B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn brachas daf nun ches. At the end of daf nun zayin amud beis, we saw that Bovel was cursed. It's Bovel harasha. It destroyed the first Beis Hamikdash, and there's a lot about Bovel which is very cursed. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar, niskala lo Bovel, niskala lo shcheineho. When Bovel became cursed, then her neighbors, the countries, the places surrounding Bovel, also got cursed. We know there's a rule, oy le rasha, oy le shcheinoy, woe to a rasha, woe to his neighbor. However, niskala lo shomroin, when Shomroin, which was on the north of Eretz Yisrael, where the 10 tribes, the Aseres HaShvatim, lived, when they became cursed, nisborchu shcheineo, then her neighbors became blessed. Says the Gemara, what the source is? Niskalu lo Bovel, niskalu lo shcheineo. What's the source that when Bovel became cursed, then her neighbors also became cursed? Tichsiv, it says in the pasuk, v'samtiha lemoirish kipoid v'agme moim. Hashem says that I will make her, referring to Bovel, an estate for wild birds and pools of water. And those wild animals that are going to be in a destroyed and ruined Bovel, they are also going to go into the neighboring places and cause havoc there. And that's the curse to the neighbors of Bovel. However, niskalelo shomroin nisbarachu shcheineo, when the shomroin got cursed, its neighbors were blessed. D'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, v'samti shomroin le'i hasodeh. Hashem says that he's going to make Shomroin into a heap in the field, lemat'i korem, a place for planting vineyards. And the fact that Shomroin has now become a place where one can plant vineyards, all the countries around Shomroin, they can take advantage of Shomroin to plant their vineyards there. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Hamnuna. Haroye Uchlisei Yisrael, somebody who sees multitudes, many people in Klal Yisrael together. Oymer, he makes the bracha, Baruch Chacham Harozim. Blessed are you, Hashem, who you are the wise, the sage of all the secrets. Uchlusei Oivdei Kechavim, however, if one sees a huge group of Gentiles, of Goyim, Oymer, he says, Busha Imchem. Your mother is embarrassed. Another brisa, similar content. Tanu Rabbanon, Horoya Uchlasei Yisrael, if somebody sees very many people of Klal Yisrael together, Oymer, he makes the bracha, Baruch Chacham Harozim, as we saw. The reason you make this bracha is She'ein Daitom Doime Leze Lozeh. The minds of every individual are not similar. Vein partofeim zelazeh. Their faces are very different to each other, and nonetheless, Hashem knows the secret and unique property of each and every one of these many people. And that's why you say bracha baruch chacham arozim. That Hashem, you are the master, and you have control and understand the secrets behind the individuality of every single person. Says the Gemara, Ben Zoyma ra uchlusa al gav maila harabais. Ben Zoyma saw many people of Klal Yisrael. They were standing on the steps on the harabais. Omar baruch chacham harozim, and indeed he made the bracha of chacham harozim. Ubaruch shebara kol elu l'shamsheini, and he added on another bracha, saying, Baruch Ata Hashem, you're blessed, that you created all these people, that between all of them, my needs are being met. I don't need to run all over the place. And he's going to explain what he means. Hu haya Omer? He used to say to himself, Ben Zoyma would say, Kamo yegio is yoga Adam Rishon. To what trouble did Adam Rishon have to go? And how much effort he had to put in? Ad shemotzo pas lechoil, until he found a piece of bread he could eat. Chorash, you would plow, v'zora, and sow, v'kotzar, and reap, v'imeir, and gather, v'dosh, and thresh, v'zora, to winnow, v'berir, and to sort out, and select the better ones from the worst ones, the wheat from the chaff, etc. V'tochan, he would then have to grind the kernels. V'hirkid, he would have to sift the flour. V'losh, and knead the flour. V'ofo, and then bake the flour. V'acharkach ochal, and only after that he can eat. That's a tremendous amount of effort. V'ani, says Ben Zayma, I wake up early in the morning. U'moitza kol elu musukonim lefonai. I see a ready loaf of bread, ready to be purchased, and it's all been taken care of. So Hashem created so many people in the world in order that there should be somebody there to meet all our needs. And continues Ben Zayma, V'kama yegia is yoga Adam Rishon, to how much trouble and effort did Adam Rishon have to do in order al shemotzo beged lilboish, until he had a clothes to wear. Gozaz, he'll shear the wool. V'libein, he would clean the wool. V'nipeitz, he would straighten out the wool, he would disentangle it. V'tova, he would have to spin it into threads. V'orag, and then he would have to weave the threads. V'achakach motza beged lilboish, and only afterwards he would have a clothes that he could wear. V'ani, says Ben Zayma, mashkim u'moitze kol elu musukonim lefonai. All my clothes, I don't need to go through the whole process. I purchase a cloak that somebody else made in order that I shouldn't have to go around and do all this work. Kol umois shoktos ubois lepesach beisi. All members of all the nations in the world, they come and he was a rich man, Ben Zayma, they would come and knock on his door. Vani mashkim umoitze kol elu lefonai. I wake up in the morning and I see all these people standing waiting for me, wanting to engage in business with me. So everything is being served to me on a golden platter. I don't need to do anything. Hu hoya omer. Another similar phrase or something that Ben Zayma used to say. Oireach toiv mahu omer. What does a good, grateful, and thankful, appreciative guest say? Kamo trochis torach balabais bishvili. How much trouble my host must have taken in order to, for my sake, to give me what I need to do. Kama bosor hevi lefonai, how much meat did he bring in front of me? Kama yain hevi lefonai, how much wine he brought in front of me? Kama gluskois hevi lefonai, how many rolls he put in front of me? V'chol ma'ashe torach, and everything that he did, all the trouble he took, lo torach ele bishvili, he did it all for my sake. That is what nireach toiv. That's how nireach toiv feels towards his host. Avad reach ra mahu oimer. What does a bad guest, an ungrateful guest, what does he say? He says, Ma teirach torach balabai ze. Like, what trouble, what effort did he go into to host me? Pas achas ochalti. I ate all of one loaf of bread. Chaticho achas ochalti. I had one piece of meat. Kois achas shosisi. I drank just about a cup of wine. All the things that this lavish meal was made, he just did it for himself, for his family, for his children. He didn't do it for me. That's an ungrateful guest called a bad guest. What does the Pasuk say regarding the good guests, those who are grateful and appreciative for everything the master has done? It's a Pasuk that says, Zechayr, remember, kitazki pa'oloi ashashayru anoshim. If you remember everything that your host did for you, you will make his pu'olois, all his deeds and actions, big, and you'll appreciate them all for all the things that he did that everybody saw. Al ireach ra'aksiv, but regarding a bad guest, what does the Pasuk say? Lochein yure'uhu anoshim, that people will fear him, because he does not see any of the wise-hearted. Is a person who's not appreciative. Continues the Gemara. V'ha'ish b'mei Shaul zokein bo ba'anoshim. The man in the days of Shaul, he was old and came with men. He came with men. So we have to know who is this person who is an old man who came with men. So says the Gemara. Omar Rava v'itemer of Zvid v'itemer of Oishia. One of these Chachomim said, Ze Yishai ben David. We're referring to Yishai, David HaMelech's father. Sheyotzo b'uchlusa. Whenever he went out with multitudes of people. V'nichnas b'uchlusa. And when he went in, when he came back, he would come back with multitudes of people. V'dorash b'uchlusa. And when he would lecture in Torah, there would be multitudes of people that would be coming to listen. And that's what it means that Vahoish b'mei Shaul Zokin, Yishai in the days of Shaul was elderly, Bo ba'anoshim, he would come with many, many people. And the Gemara brings this here because the Gemara is discussing the virtues of Uchlusa, referring to multitudes of people. Continues the Gemara, Oma Ula, Nikitinon ein Uchlusa b'bovel. We hold and assume and rule that there's no such thing as Uchlusya, multitudes of people, in Bovel. Which means that if you see many, many people in Bovel, you do not make this bracha. It's not a praise to Hashem to stress how many of Klal Yisrael are unfortunately in Golus. Tana, we learnt in the Braisa, Ein Uchlusa Pochus Mishishim Riboy. In essence, the definition of Uchlusa, of a multitude, is when there's 600,000 people there. If you see 600,000 people together, you have to make the bracha of Chochom HaRozim. Continues the Gemara, Ton Rabbonon. Horoye Chachmei Yisrael, if somebody sees one of the Chachomim, one of the sages of Klal Yisrael, Oymeri makes the following bracha. Baruch Shecholak Michochmosi Lireov, blessed are you Hashem that you have shared of your wisdom to those who fear him, namely to the Chachomim. What happens when you see one of the sages of the Goyim? You don't say Shecholak, that he shares his wisdom. No. Boruch Shenosan mi Chochmosi Libriyosov, he gives of his wisdom to this sage amongst the Goyim. There's a fundamental difference between whether you give something or whether you share something. When you share something, there's some level of togetherness that stays all the time. And that's only between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shleilim. When it comes to a Goy, Hashem will give him a gift of wisdom, but not more than that. Continues the Gemara. The Braisa, Horoye Malchi Yisrael, if somebody sees a king, a Jewish king, Oymeri makes the bracha, Boruch Shecholak Mikvoido Lireov, blessed is he, who he has shared from his honour and glory to those who fear him. Malchei Oivdei Kichovim, Oymer, what do you say when you see a non-Jewish king or queen? Says the Gemara, Boruch Shenosan Mikvoidei Libriyov, he doesn't share his glory with his creatures, he gives some of the glory onto non-Jewish king. Malchei Oivdei Kichovim. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, La'olam yishtadil odom lorot, a person should take the trouble to run and see the honor and the glory that's given to Likras Malchei Yisrael, to see the glory and honor given to a Jewish king, V'lo Likras Malchei Yisrael bilvad, but not only to go and give respect to a Jewish king, you should also run to see the honor and the majestic way that things work with even a non-Jewish king. Why? Because if you merit, then when it comes to Olam Haba, after Mashiach is going to come, Yavchin bein Malchei Yisrael Malchei Ovdei Kechovim, you'll then be able to determine and see the difference, the contrast between the kovod given to a non-Jewish king today and the tremendous kovod, unparalleled kovod, given to a Jewish king after Mashiach comes. Rav Sheshes was blind. In order to say it in a nice term, not to say he was blind, the Gemara uses the term that he was full of light. Sagi Noir means a lot of light, but really it means that we should understand, it means the opposite, he couldn't see light at all. Hava ka'ozli kule alma lekabule ape malka. Everyone was going to greet the king. V'kom Ozar Badayu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes rose and started following the crowds to meet the king as well. Ashkeche Ahu Tziduki, one of the Kofrim, he met Rav Sheshes. Omar Lein, he said to him, Chatzbe Lenara, jugs, barrels, pitchers, if they're whole pitchers, they go down to the river and we collect water with them. Kagne, but the broken pitchers, Laya, do they also go down to the river? What have they got to do at the river? You can't use them, they're broken. Omarli, Rav Sheshes said, you think that I'm broken because I can't see and therefore I don't know what's going on? To chazid yedanot feminoch. I'm going to show you that I know more about the king and his procession even than you do, even though I'm blind and you're not. Why? Cholav gunde kamaisa. The first set of troops passed by. Kiko Afsha, when it was making a noise and it was loud and evident that they were nearby, Omar Leahu Tziduki, this Tziduki said to Rav Sheshes, Oso Malka, you see all this noise? This is, the king is passing. Omar Leahu Sheshes, Rav Sheshes argued and said, Loika Osi, this is not the king. Cholav Gunda Tinyona, a second set of troops noisily drove past them. Kiko Afsham, when it became very loud, Omar Leahu Tziduki, again this Tziduki, said to Rav Sheshes, Hashta Kaosi Malka, this is the king passing now. Omar Leahu Sheshes, Rav Sheshes again argued and said, Loi Kaosi Malka, this is not the king. Cholav Tlisoi, a third set of troops passed by. Ki Hava Shoska, if after they finished passing by and things grew quiet, Omar Leahu Sheshes, Rav Sheshes said, Vadai Hashta Osi Malka, now the king is coming. Omar Leahu Tziduki. The Tziduki wondered how he knew and asked of Sheshes, Minol Chaha, how do you know this? Omar Leahu Sheshes answered, De Malchusa de Arak en Malchusa de Rakia. We know that royalty here on earth is not more than a reflection of the royalty in Shemaim. And I know that kings in Shemaim, the concept of kings, it just don't come out at the beginning. It's only after there's three sets of troops that are making a loud noise, then silently the king comes past. Dichsiv, it's explicit in the pasuk. Tzei, go out, va'omadoto bahor lifnei Hashem, and should stand on the mountain before Hashem. V'hinei Hashem oivir, and behold, Hashem was passing. V'ruach gedoyla v'chozok, and a great and powerful wind, mephoric horim, smashing mountains, umeshaber sloim, and breaking rocks. And they went before Hashem. Lifnei Hashem, loy beruach Hashem. Even though there was a tremendous ruach there, a ruach gedoyla, a powerful, a great and powerful wind, but Hashem loy beruach. Hashem wasn't in the wind. Continues the pasuk, v'achar haruach, after the wind, rash, came an earthquake. However, the pasuk says, loy barash Hashem. Hashem himself is not in the earthquake. V'achar harash, after the earthquake, eish, there came a fire, but loy ba'eish Hashem, it was clear that Hashem is not in the fire. V'achar ha'eish, and after the fire, which means we've had a ruach, we've had rash, and we've had eish. V'achar ho'eish, koil demomo daka. There's a very still, thin sound. That's where the king comes. Ki osu malka, when the king finally came, posach Rav Sheshes v'kom varachle. Rav Sheshes made the brocha. The brocha that we've discussed in the Mishnah. Omar le'ahu tziduki. The tziduki said to Rav Sheshes, le'mande le'ichozes le'kom varacht. I don't understand. You're making a bracha because you see the king. If you can't see the king, you're blind. Ask the Gemara, my hava alei dahu tziduki. What was the end of the story with this kofar? So there's a number of different suggestions. Ikud amra, some say, chavroi chachlina le'ena. Which is said in a nice term, that his friends painted over his eyes. Really what it means is they gouged his eyes out. V'ikadomra, others suggest, Rav Sheshe nosan einov boy, even though his physical eyes couldn't see, but his spiritual eyes were perfectly intact, he gazed at this koifer, v'nas egal shel atzomois, and he became a heap of bones. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shilo nagde la'u gavra. Rabbi Shilo was trying to keep some law and order, and there was somebody who, a person, the Baal Mitzvah, that he had relationships with an Egyptian woman, and he gave him lashes. The Mefarshim say he didn't give them lashes himself, but he gave the ruling, he gave the sentence that this person deserves the lashings, because he wasn't allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman. Ozel, this man who got the slappings, Ochal Beikurza. This is a term which means that he went to gossip. It was a custom then that when people went to gossip, they would eat this snack called kurze. And the word kurze actually comes from the word koratz, which is a wink. which is the language that gossipers use between each other. But what it really means is he went and he gossiped, he told to Beimalka in the home, in the royal palace, he told them that Rav Shila had given somebody lashes because he had married a non-Jewish woman. Omar, what did he say in the king's house? He said, Ika chad gavra b'yudoi, there's one man amongst the Jews, dekodoyin dino b'loi hormone de malka, and he's ruling judgment without authority from the king, without permission. Shodar alei pristoko. The king sent an emissary to try and see what's going on here. Ki also, when Rav Shila came in order to be examined by this pristoko, Omrele, they asked Rav Shila, Mai tama nagadate lehai? Why did you order this person to get lashes? Omalhu, he answered them, Deboal chamorta, because he had a relationship with a donkey. Omrele, they asked him, Isloch Sadi, have you got any witnesses? Omar Luhu, he said, in yes. Now the truth is he had no witnesses that this person did anything with a donkey. If anything, he did something with this Egyptian woman, and even that he didn't have any witness. But Hashem made an es, a miracle. Also Elio Novi came, Idmi Leke Inish, he came in the guise of a man, Va'asid, and he testified. Yes, that this person had a relationship with his donkey. Omrilei, they said to Rav Shila, Ihochi, if this person indeed had this relationship with his donkey, Bark Tolahu, he's liable to death. Omar Luhu, Rav Shila said, Anan miyoyme de golinon me'arin, from the time that we've been exiled from Eretz Yisrael, from the Churban of the Beis HaMikdosh, leslan reshusa le'mikdal, we do not have the authority to carry out executions. Atun, but you, mande bo itun avidube, you can do with him whatever you see proper, whatever you want. Ad de ma'ayne beidina, whilst they were examining the case, posach Rav Shila va'omer, Rav Shila started saying a posuk, L'cho Hashem agdula v'agvura, yours Hashem is the greatness, the strength, etc. Omrulei, they asked Rav Shila, my comrades, what are you saying? It was obviously not common practice in the middle of a court case for one of the people to start mumbling. Omrulei, he said, Hochekamina, this is what I said. Brich Rachmona, blessed is Hashem, the merciful one, that's why it's called Rachmona, Diyoiv Malchusa Ba'arak en Malchusa Derekia. He established royalty here on earth that reflects the royalty of heaven. Vayoiv Lechu Shultono, and he has given you, the king, has given you dominion, has given you the power. Varachme Dine, and you love justice. Omru, they said between themselves, Chaviva Aleya Korod Malchusa Kulehai, the glory of the king, of the monarchy, is so dear to him. Yoivile Kulfa, they gave him a rod in order that he can use it when he needs to give punishments to people. Omrule, they said to him, Dun Dino, you have permission to administer justice. Ki Havanofik, when Abshila went out, Omaleahu Gavra, then this person, he said to Rav Shila, Ovid Rachmona Nisa Lishkori Hochi, Hashem has done a miracle for you that you lied. You lied that I did something with my donkey, and Hashem helped you, and Eliyahu Novi walked in. Omale, Rav Shila said, Rosha, Lav Chamori Ikra? Are these Egyptians not called donkeys? Tachsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Asher Basar Chamoirim Basorom, their flesh is compared to the flesh of donkeys. Chazya, De Ka'ozil Lememru Lehu, De Korinu Chomri. Rav Shila realized that this person was about to tell them, the authorities, that Rav Shila was referring to them as donkeys. Omar, so Rav Shila said to himself, we know there's a halacha. Hi, Roidifu, this person is called a Roidif. He's coming as if to say he's going to do something that's going to threaten my life. It's as if he's coming to kill me. But Torah Omran, it says in the Torah, in Bala Horgacha, if somebody comes to kill you, Hashkim Horga, anticipate him and kill him first. Machye Bakulfa Vakatli. So Shila hit him with the rod and killed him. Continues the Gemara. Omar, Rav Shila said to himself, Hoyl vis avid li nisa b'haikra, since a miracle was performed through this pasuk, it was when he said this pasuk, Locha Hashem, that they asked him, what are you saying? And he said that he's blessing Hashem for giving them a royalty like that, and they were very touched by that, and they gave him the permission to administer justice. It was a miracle happened consequent to him focusing on this pasuk. So he said, I'm going to expound on this pasuk. Lecha Hashem Agdula. First thing we say is that yours, Hashem, is the greatness. Greatness is yours. That's where real greatness is. What is that referring to? Because all the ways, all the traits that we attribute to Hashem, it's to do with his interaction with the world. It's not as if we can say anything about him as an entity of his own. It's only through the way he interacts with the world that we know about him. So if Hashem has greatness, it must be there's something he did that reflects the trait called greatness. What is that? Zu Maisa Bereishis. The Maisa Bereishis, the creation of world, is a reflection of kindness. Bechenu Omer, and indeed that's what it says in the Torah, Oise Gedolos Ad Ein Cheker, that Hashem is the one that performs great deeds that are beyond their in cheker, they're beyond comprehension. V'hagvura, he also, in that pasuk, it says that to you, Hashem, is strength. Where did Hashem demonstrate strength? Zu yitzias Mitzrayim. So when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, V'yar Yisrael es hayod ha'gdoila, and Klal Yisrael saw the great hand. It was this hand that managed to overpower the Egyptians. That's why the Gvura is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vatif Eres, the splendor. Where did Hashem reveal his splendor? Zu Chama Ulevono Sh'omdu Lodi Yeshua. It was the time where the sun and the moon stopped in their tracks in order to do a miracle for Yeshua. Shnemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayidoim Hashemesh. The sun stood still. Vyoreach Omod B'chulu. And the moon stopped. Continues the Gemara. V'hanetzach, and the triumph. Where did Hashem express and reveal his trait of being a triumph? Zu mapoloso sheroimi. This is when Rome fell. V'cheinu Omer, says in the pasuk regarding Rome, v'yeiz nitzchom, their lifeblood, their own triumph, which has now been smashed out. But what was their triumph? V'yeiz, it spurted out al begodai, on my garments. And Hashem showed his own triumph by overpowering the enemy, Rome, that were called Nitzchom, that they were the ones that were used to always being the leaders and defeating their enemies. Continues Vahahoid, that the Pasuk says that Lecha Hashem, to you Hashem, is also the glory. Where did Hashem demonstrate his glory? Zu milchemes nachle Arnon. This is the battle at the canyons of Arnon that we discussed a few dafim back. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, al kein ye omer b'seifim milchamis Hashem. It is said in the book of the wars of Hashem. Esvohev is something you give; it's a gift, and this miraculous deliverance that we had at the canyons of Arnon, Basufa, they were in the reeds of the canyon of Arnon, and that's where Hahoid, where Hashem's splendor was expressed. The Apostle continues, Kichoil Bashamayim Uvaret, everything in heaven and earth, it's all yours, Hashem. Zumil Chema Sisra, that became clear in the war, in the battle against Sisra. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Min Shamayim Nilchomu, from heavens they fought, Hakechovim Mimisilaisam, the stars from their courses, they all fought against Sisra. So you see that Hashem has tremendous influence also from Shamayim, Kichoil Bashamayim Uvaoretz. Lecha Hashem Amamlocha, yours Hashem is the kingship. Where is that going to be revealed? Zu Milchemes Amalek. This is the great Milchoma of Amalek that's going to be when Mashiach comes. V'cheinu Omer, ki yod al keis ko. It says regarding the destruction of Amalek and the requirement to destroy Amalek is that Hashem's hand is on his throne, and the throne is another term for Hashem's Malchus, and when he was destroying Amalek, that is when the throne became exalted. V'amisnase, and the sovereignty. Where's Hashem's sovereignty going to be expressed? Zu milchemes Goyg u'Magog. This is referring to the war of Goyg and Magog. V'cheinu Eimer. And regarding this war, it says in the pasuk, Hinani eilecha Goyg nesi roish meshech v'tuval. I, Hashem, am against you. Hinani eilecha, I'm against you, Goyg. You, Goyg, nesi roish meshech v'tuval. You are the sovereign leader of Meshech and Tuval, and when they're going to be destroyed, then Hashem being the only sovereignty is going to be expressed. Says the Gemara, L'choil L'roish. What does it mean that Hashem is going to be for everybody a leader, over every leader? Omer v'chonon bar Rova, Omer v'yechonon, Afilu resh gargisa. Even being a leader on something as trivial as being the one that's supervising the irrigation of a field, that's also a certain leadership. And even on those trivial leaderships, Hashem is the one who is over every single leader. Min shamayim monule, that person only got the responsibility to supervise the irrigation because he was appointed for this by Hashem. Continues the Gemara. B'masnita tana mishmeid Rabbi Akiva, we saw in a brayse in the name of Rabbi Akiva a slightly different way of explaining these words in this pasuk. L'cho Hashem agdula, what does it mean that Hashem is great? Greatness is yours, Hashem. Where was Hashem's greatness revealed? Zu kriyas yamsuf, his greatness was revealed at kriyas yamsuf. V'gvura. Where was Hashem's strength revealed? Zumakas Bechiras, when Hashem killed all the firstborns in Mitzrayim. Vatif Eres, the splendor. Where do we see that Hashem expressed his splendor? Zumatan Torah, when Hashem gave us the Torah. Vanetzach, and the triumph. Where is that expressed? Zu Yerushalayim, this is in reference to Yerushalayim. Vahoid, where is Hashem's glory expressed? Zu Beis HaMikdash, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, as we know it. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, we learnt in the Braisa, Horoye Bote Yisrael B'Yishuvon. If somebody sees the homes of Yisrael in their inhabited state, they're not in ruins, Oymeri makes a bracha, Boruch Matziv Gvul Almono. Blessed are you, Hashem, who establishes the boundaries of the widow. When the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we were called widows. Hoysoka Almono. So when Hashem rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdash, now you see the homes of Bote Yisrael who have been rebuilt, you make this bracha. Bechur Bonon. If you see the homes of Klal Yisrael in a ruined state, Oymer, he makes Baruch Dayinu Emes, like the bracha you make. When anything sad befalls a person, he makes a bracha, Hashem, you are a true judge. Bote oivdei keichovim b'yishuvon, Oymer, what bracha do you make when you see non-Jewish homes in an inhabited state? He makes the following bracha, Beis geim yisach Hashem. Hashem is going to uproot the house of those who are arrogant. B'churbonon Oymer, if you see their homes in a dilapidated state, in a ruined state, what do you say? You say, Kil nekomois Hashem, Kil nekomois Hoifia. You are a God of vengeance, and with vengeance you appear. Continues the Gemara, Ula v'Rav Chisda havek ozli b'urcha. They were going along the way. Kimotu apischa de bei Rav Chana bar Chaniloi. They reached the entrance of the home of Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, which at the time was in shambles, was in ruins. Nogad Rav Chisda v'isnach. Rav Chisda uttered a very long groan, a sigh. Omar le'ulo, Ulo said to him, Amaiko misnacht? Why are you sighing? Why are you groaning? V'homer Rav, anocha shiveres chetzi gufei shel odom. Do you not know that Rav says that with a sigh you can break half a person's body? Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'ato ben odom, you man, he'onach b'shivrein mosnaim, with a shattering of the loins, etc. So you see from here that the he'onach, the sigh, is attributed and associated to a person shattering of his loins, which is half of his body. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, af kol gufei shel adam, a sigh, a groan, a moan, can even harm a person's entire body. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'hoyok yomru elecho al mo ato nenach, that when they will ask you, why are you sighing, why are you groaning, v'omarton, you shall say, el shmua kivo'o v'nomas kolev, because we had the report, we heard the reports that are coming when every heart is going to melt away. So you see here clearly that from a sigh, al mo'ata nenach, from a sigh, a person's nimas kolev, his whole heart can melt, and it can affect his whole body. Continues the Gemara, Omer loy, heichaloy etnach. He was asked, why are you groaning? He answered back, how can I not sigh? Beisa dehava bo shitin of yoso bimomo. In this house there were 60 bakers during the day. V'shitin af yoso balaylo, and there were 60 bakers every night. V'afyon lekol ma shetzorich, they would bake all day and all night for whoever needed it. V'le shokal yoda min kisa. And he did not remove his hand from his purse. Why? The sova he held, Dilma osi oni bar tovim, maybe a poor man of a very noble background might come to him for tzedakah. V'ad motule lekisa komichsaf, and while he's searching for his purse, he's going to be embarrassed and he's going to go away. And he didn't want to lose the opportunity of helping this poor person, and he knew that the poor people needed help. And not only that's the home, that's the chesed that he had. Vesu have a psichin le arba bove le arba ruchoso de alma. His home had four doors, four entrances on four sides. Vechol dava ail coffin, and anyone who was hungry would come in. Nofik kisova, and would leave satisfied. And not only that, they would throw kernels of wheat and barley outside, b'shnei b'tzeiros avroi, outside in the time where there was famine, to kolman d'ksifa milsa l'mishkal b'imoma, so if anyone would be embarrassed to come in during the day and ask for wheat or barley or something to make flour and bread from, osi v'shokel b'laylo, he could come at night when no one was watching and pick up the kernels. Hashta nofal betilo, and now this house has fallen into a heap of rubble. V'lo yesnach, I should not sign, I should not groan. Now Ula tried to console Rav Chisda. Omale, hochi omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, miyoyim shechorav beis hamikdash, from the day that the beis hamikdash was destroyed, nigzerog zeir al boteim shel tzadikim sheyachrovu. There was a decree that was passed in Shemaim that the homes of the righteous, they too would get destroyed. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, ba'oznai, it entered into my ears, Hashem Tzvokis, that Hashem was referred to as Hashem Tzvokis, said as follows, imloi botim rabim leshamo yiyu gedoilim, that I swear that many houses will become desolate, great and fine ones will be without inhabitant, gedoilim v'toivim me'ein yeshev, there'll be nobody in those homes, they're going to get destroyed. Va'omar Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan also said, there'll come a time where Hashem is going to rebuild and restore these homes into their inhabited state. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Shir Hamalos, Haboitchim b'Hashem k'har Tzion, those who trust Hashem are like the Har Sinai, are like the Mount of Tzion, and in the same way as Ma Har Tzion, just as Har Tzion, which is the Har Abayis, where the Beis Hamikdash was, Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzira Liyishuvai, Hashem is going to restore the Beis Hamikdash, and it will be lived in. Af batem shel tzadikim, so too the homes of the tzadikim, osed HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'achziron li'yishuvon. Hashem is going to restore them, and they are again going to be inhabited in. And this way he tried to console Rav Chisda. Chaz yedolei miyashvedaiti, he saw that Rav Chisda's mind was still not at ease, he was still not okay with the pain of seeing what had been lost here. Omar Leisu, he said to him, Dayoi le'eved shiyeh karaboy, this home is now fallen and is in ruins, in order that as a servant of Hashem he should be in a similar state to Hashem. Like Hashem's home had got destroyed, so too this home had got destroyed. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon, we learnt in a Braisa, Horoya Kivrei Yisrael Oimer, when somebody sees the graves of Klal Yisrael, of Jews, he makes the following bracha. Boruch Asher Yotzar Eschem Bedin, blessed are you Hashem who created you in judgment. V'zon Eschem Bedin, and he fed you, sustained you in judgment. V'chilkel Eschem Bedin, also he sustained you in judgment. V'osaf Eschem Bedin, he gathered you into the world of the neshamas, when he took away your neshamas, when you passed away in judgment. V'osid la'akimchem Bedin, and in the future he's going to raise you also in judgment, where we're all going to stand up for Tchias HaMesim. And the Gemara interrupts and says, Mar b'rei d'Ravina, Mesayim bo mishmei d'Rav Nachman. In the name of Rav Nachman, they would add into this bracha, the end of the bracha, V'yudea misbar kulcham, and he knows the number of all of you, V'hu osid l'hachyoischem u'lekayim eschem, and in the future he will revive you and support you. Boruch mechaye meisim, blessed are you who resurrects the dead. There's going to be Tchias HaMesim. And now the Braisa continues, Kivrei Oivdei Kechavim Oimer, if you see the graves of Goyim, what bracha do you make? Boisha Imchem, your mother is embarrassed, etc. Continues the Gemara. Omer Bishua ben Levi, Horoye Eschaveiroi Ach Leachar Shloishim Yoim, if somebody sees his friend and has not seen him for the duration of 30 days, Oimer makes the following bracha. Boruch Shechionu Vikimonu Vigionu Lazman Azeh, blessed to you Hashem who has kept us alive, sustained us, and brought us up to this time. La'achar shnei mosar chodesh, Oimer, what bracha do you make if you haven't seen your friend for 12 months? Says the Gemara, Boruch mechay amesim, you make a bracha, Boruch, that you're the one that resurrects the dead. Omar Rav, Rav said, Ein hames mishtakeach min alev, a dead person is not forgotten totally from the heart, elo la'achar shnei mosar chodesh, only after 12 months. After 12 months, a dead person is forgotten. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Nishkachti, I have become forgotten, kameis, like a dead person, milei, from the heart. Hoyisi, kechli oived, I have become like a lost vessel. And we know that when a vessel gets lost, then after 12 months, we assume the owner has given up ever seeing it again. And this is now a little bit of an explanation why, if you've not seen your friend for 12 months, it's as if you've forgotten him. He's like out of mind for 12 months, and therefore when you see him again, it's a new revival of this friend, and you make a broch of Boruch Mechaye Amesim. Continues the Gemara, Rav Papa v'Rav Huna b'Reider of Yeshua have a ka'ozli b'urcha. Rav Papa and Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, were walking along the road. Pogu bei Rav Chanina b'Reider of Ika. They met Rav Chanina, the son of Rav Ika. Omrulei, they said to Rav Chanina, Behadu de kazinoch borchinon aloch tarti. Now that we've seen you, we are going to make two brachas. Boruch hashecholak michochmosoi liriov. The first bracha we saw before, when you see one of the Chachmei Yisrael, you make a bracha that Hashem shares from his wisdom with those who fear him. V'shechionu. And the second bracha, because they hadn't seen him for at least 30 days. Omar Luhu. Rav Chanina answered back to Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Ano nami kaven dechazitinchu, now that I have seen the two of you, chashavtinchu ilavai, kashitin rivavon beis Yisrael, you are considered to me, even though it's just the two of you, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, but you are considered to me the equivalent of 600,000 people. You have such insight that in the same way as when I see 600,000 people, I make a bracha of Chochom HaRozim, just you on your own are so wow that I can make the bracha Chochom HaRozim on you, and therefore, Barichna Aleichu, Tlosa, I'm going to make on you two, three brachas. Hanoch Tarti, the same two that you made, which is Shecholak Michochmosi Lireov and Shecheyonu, Uboru Chochom HaRozim, and I'm also going to add on Chochom HaRozim. Omru Lei, they said to Rav Chanina, Chakim Tku Lehai, are you so clever that you can determine just by seeing us that our intelligence is such that it parallels and compares to those of 600,000 people? There was something that they didn't like about this assumption that Rav Chanina was saying this. Some say that he shouldn't have said that. Some say he shouldn't have made a bracha. The Chachomim didn't say you make a bracha on one person, Chochom HaRozim. You only make a bracha when you see 600,000 people. Either way, there was something about this that they really didn't like. Yoav Abu Bei Inaihu, they set their eyes on him. Inaihu, they set their eyes on him. Veshochiv, and he passed away. Continues the Gemara. Omar Beshua Ben Levi, Haroye Es Habahakonim, if somebody sees spotted people, a person with very noticeable spots, some say this may be what we call freckles, where as long as there's a very clear distinction between the color of the spots and the color of the skin, that would be called bahakonim. What bracha do you make? Boruch Meshane Abriyais, that blessed are you Hashem who diversifies the creatures. He makes something very different, very unusual. And obviously it's talking about a place where it's unusual to see this type of person. Ask the Gemara Meisvei. We saw in the Braisa, Ro es akushi, if somebody sees a very dark person, ves agichoyer, or a very red-skinned person, ves alavkon, a very pale person, ves ha kipeach, or a person who is very large, ves ha nanos, or a dwarf, ves ha darnikus, or a person with warts, Oimer, he says, the bracha boruch meshanes habriyos, that blessed are you Hashem who diversifies creatures. Es hakitea, if you see a person whose hands are amputated, ves asuma, or if you see a blind person, ves psuye horoish, or people who have very densely, the hair is very, very dense on their heads, ves achigir, or a person where his leg has been amputated, ves mukeshchin, or a person who's got boils on his body, ves habakonim, and this is what we're waiting for. If you see a spotted person, oimer, you make a bracha boruch dayan hoemes, that you Hashem, you're a true judge, and even though it's unfortunate that these things happen to these people, but boruch dayan hoemes. So you see here that you make the bracha of dayan hoemes, not the bracha of meshane habriyos, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said. Says the Gemara, lo ikashya. We can answer this seeming contradiction. Ha mimei imoi, somebody who is born with all these spots, he can make a bracha of boruch meshane habriyos. Ha bosad is yalid, but when do you say the bracha of boruch dayanu emes is if the condition happened to him, sort of as a punishment, after he was born. He was born in a healthy state, and then he became spotted, and then you say, Baruch Dayanu Emes. And in proof to this, Daikanami, it's clear from the Braisa, Dumya, Duktoni Dumya Dekitea. It puts a spotted person in the same category, in the same list, as the one who was amputated. And the one who was amputated was clearly amputated after he was born. No one is born amputated. Shma Minos, you see from here, that a spotted person who he became spotted after he was born, you make Baruch Dayanu Emes. If he was born that way, you make the bracha of Meshane Habriyos. Continues the Braisa. Tonu Rabbonon, Haroye Pil, if somebody sees an elephant, Koif, or a monkey, the Kipoif, or he sees an owl, Oimer, he makes a bracha, boruch meshane habriyos. There's something strange, something unusual about these three. Continues the Braisa. Ra'a briyos toivos. If somebody saw very beautiful creatures, ve'ilonos toivim, or he saw beautiful trees, Oymeri makes the bracha, Baruch shekach aloi ba'ilomoi. Blessed are you, Hashem, that has such beautiful things in his world. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah that al hazikin, that on the zikin we make the bracha of shekoychayuk v'rosoy mole oilam. We just don't know what these zikin are. Asks the Gemara, my zikin, what's the meaning of zikin? Omar Shmuel, koychva deshovit, which is a type of a star that has a trail behind it. V'omar Shmuel, another comment from Shmuel, a related one, nehirin li shvile deshmaya, the paths of heaven are clear to me, k'shvile deNahardor, like the paths of Nahardor, his hometown. Lebar mikoichva deshovit. Besides, for this koichav deshovit, this star that has a trail behind it, that I don't know deloy yodan mainihu. I don't know its path. Ugemiri. However, we know it's clear to us deloy ovar kisla, that this koichva deshovit does never ever passes through a constellation called Ksil. V'yovar kisla. But if this Koichva Deshovit would pass the constellation of Ksil, Chorav Almo, the world would be destroyed. Asks the Gemara, V'kochazinon de'ovar, we have seen a Koichva Deshovit, a star with a trail behind it, we have seen it pass through the constellation called Ksil. Answers the Gemara, Zivehu de'ovit, it was just the glow of this Koichva Deshovit that passed through, U'mischazir k'de'ovar, and it just appeared, it looked as if the Koichva Deshovit itself was going through the constellation called Ksil, but in truth it was just its glow and it wasn't the star itself. Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Omar, Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua says, I'll tell you what Koichva Dezika is. What is Zikin? It's not the Koichva Deshovit that we saw before from Shmuel. They say it's Viloin Huda Mikra, Umerze Nahira Dorakia. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us there are seven different skies, the lowest of all being called Viloin. The one above it is called Rakia. When there's a crack, a tear in the lowest sky called Viloin, and then through that crack you can see the sky called Rakia, that's called a Koichva Deshovit. That's called a Zikin. And you make a bracha shekoichay gvorosim mole oilam when you see that. Rav Ashi Omar, we're now going back to the koichva deshovit and whether it can or cannot pass through Ksil, through the constellation called Ksil. Says Rav Ashi, koichva hu da'okar mehaygi sodekisla. Now the Gemara is going to again speak about what we said before. We said that it's clear that a Koichva Deshovit, this star with a trail behind it, cannot pass through the constellation called Ksil. And they asked a question, V'hoko chazinon da'ovar. We saw that such a Koichva Deshovit did pass through the Ksil. So we said before it wasn't the star itself, it was just the glow. Rav Ashi is going to give another explanation. Rav Ashi Omar, Koichva hu da'okar mihay gisa de kisla, V'chozi leichavrei mehach gisa umivis, Umerza k'man de'ovar. Rav Ashi says like this, the constellation of Kisla is made up of many, many stars. There was one star on one side that fell away from the constellation, it got removed, and on the other side of the constellation called Ksil, there was a star that saw this star moving away, that star got worried and started shaking. So when it looked like there was suddenly a star on this side that disappeared, and a star on the other side that started moving, then it looked as if there was some type of star that was passing through the constellation of Ksil, but in truth, nothing passed through it. It was just that on one side, a star disappeared, and on the other side, a star started moving a little bit more. Continues the Gemara. Shmuel Romi. Shmuel asks a contradiction. Ksiv, in one pasuk, it says, Oise Osh Ksil V'chima, that he makes three constellations, one called Osh, one called Ksil and one called Kima. Uchsiv, in another pasuk it says, Oisei Kima Uksil. He makes a constellation called Kima and a constellation called Ksil. And the Gemara means to ask, why in the first pasuk is Ksil mentioned before Kima, and in the second pasuk Kima is mentioned before Ksil? Ha-ketzad, why is it like that? It seems that they're both of equal importance, and they both have an equally important job as to how the world is functioning. The Gemara is going to explain. Il mole chumo shel Ksil. If not for the heat that's coming from the constellation of Ksil, lo niskayim oilom mipnei tzino shel Kima. The cold of Kima would be so much that the world would not be able to survive if not for the heat coming from Ksil. Ve'il mole tzino shel Kima, if not for the coldness coming from Kima, lo niskayim oilom mipnei chumo shel Ksil, the heat from Ksil would be so much the world would not be able to survive, and therefore we need the cold of Kima, and it's exactly equal to the heat of Ksil. We need them equally. One without the other would bring the destruction of the world. Ugamiri, we have a tradition. Ilav ukta de akrava de monach benahardinoid. If not for the tail of the constellation called the scorpion Akrov, which is Kima, if not for the tail of this Kima, is not placed in a stream of fire, Naharduno, it's not put into a stream of fire, Kolman Dehava Trikole Akrova Lehava Chaya. Anyone bitten by a scorpion would not be able to survive. So you see from here that Kima is very, very cold. Continues Shmuel, V'hainu deka'oma le'rachmona le'iyoiv. This is what Hashem said to Iyoiv. Hatekasher ma'adanois Kima. Could you tie the bonds of Kima? Oy moishchois Ksil tefateach? Or could you loosen the shackles of Ksil? So you see from here that Kima, the stars in Kima, are very, very tied together. That's why Hashem told Iyoiv, could you tie the bonds of Kima? And we see that Ksil are much, much looser, the stars. And supposedly the reason that the stars of Ksil are much looser is because they are so hot. And assumingly that the reason that the stars of Kima are very tied together is because they are very cold. And we know that in science, we know that something hot expands more and is looser, and something very, very cold gets frozen and is tighter. Continues the Gemara. My Kima. Why is Kima called Kima? Omra Shmuel. Shmuel says it's the word Kima is similar to Kameo Koichva. It's like 100 stars because it's made up a constellation of many, many stars. Omrile de Mechanfe. Some say that all these stars are gathered together, and others say that all these stars are scattered. Yirtz Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.